It's 88.5 KCSN, and I'm Sky Daniels, and I'm sitting here with Sharon Van Etten, who I have to express incredible thanks to for coming by KCSN. I know you made an extra special effort to come from Austin to see us on a Sunday.
Well, thank you for being here on a Sunday and wanting to do this and talk to me at all.
What I really want to ask first is, over a course of three records, just kind of give me, for all the listeners out there who may not know you, who are just getting to know Sharon Van Etten, give me a walk through the first three records. It was Because I Was in Love, then Epic, and then now Tramps.
Okay, so my first record, Because I Was in Love, was mostly a solo record, really, really sparse and bleak and dark and bottom of a well kind of a record. Really proud of that record, but it definitely comes from a time where I was really brokenhearted. I was living out of my parents' basement when I wrote all those songs, and I really didn't know what I was doing, and I was trying to recover.
Okay.
Move forward. Like, maybe a year or so later, I record Epic, and I moved to New York. I'm a little more confident. I decided to try to write more parts for my songs. So there's more instrumentation. They're a little more upbeat. They're still similar subject matter. But they're more, like, there's a couple country songs. There's a lot more, there's a couple epic songs. And then I use a harmonium, so there's a lot more of a mix in there. And so that was the first time I ever dictated what I wanted as far as drums, guitar, bass, very basic band setup. Within a year of recording that record, I got a band together, I toured a lot, I wrote a lot. And in the writing of Tramp, there was a lot more cathartic songs, a lot more, you know, the feel of them were all there, but I had only written for guitar and vocal at that point. So when I went into the studio to work on Tramp, Tramp is now, it's kind of took on this huge kind of sound.
Right.
Without overdoing it, I don't think, but it definitely is a band sound while having a lot of drones, while still my voice is very much the center and still pretty raw, but it is a step up in production.
Thank you. there, you've been honest in a lot of interviews, much as you just were in admitting, I guess, is one way of saying how each album, it honestly, on so many levels, is a learning process for you. It's figuring out the dynamics of songs and figuring out what will or won't work with you and just discovering ideas that might apply to what you hear in your head and your heart. And I guess you came together with Aaron Dessner of The National, and I've been told that, is this a true story, that he and Justin Vernon did a cover of yours? And you saw a video of the cover, and is that fable or true?
Aaron and his twin brother Bryce have a festival called Music Now, where they encourage artists to collaborate during the few days that the festival goes on, and that song came up as a cover song for them to do live, and they had a string trio maybe, and then Aaron and Bryce and Justin, they covered my song, and my friends Megaphone showed me the video when we were on tour together, and I woke up to that video and I had a mini freak out.
In a good way, right?
In a good way.
It was kind of weird, like, wait, why are they covering my song?
People whose records that I buy and that I listen to are covering my song. That is pretty cool.
And pretty exceptional artist to boot. So that... Then did you make the reach, or was there a connection made between you and Aaron that led to what seems to be like a real bond over the making of this record?
Well, after asking a few friends, I was encouraged to reach out to them, and so I did. At the time when I reached out, it was for having them play on Epic because I hadn't recorded that record yet. But they were all busy recording their current amazing records. But they said, Aaron wrote me back and said, in the future, if you want to work together on demos. But it turned in, when I kept giving him demos and they added up to like 20 demos, he said, you don't need to demo songs, we have a record. But it was it was us talking back and forth and meeting up over a period of a year before we probably started recording. There he goes, he finally closed the door, I turned the lock. Now you're a coward, sure. Then he rings. one of the things that changed too with this record was that it's the most confident vocals I've ever done and the most confident writing and the more positive songs that I've written, I think. And they all have these natural build that just want to go there, but I didn't know how to realize that in a studio context. So Aaron and I talked a lot about incorporating the drone again from the last record and how to make that a nice crossing over point from the two records so that there's still some familiarity with it while still building on that. But most of the songs end up building on a drone, just like the last song on the second record. But it definitely turned into a bigger thing, like a bigger beast than we thought it would. But at some point, you just have to let it happen a little bit, or you just got really excited and we just kept building. And I don't think it was ever unnecessary.
And it I would assume, having seen a lot of acts go through that process of realizing there's more they can do, more experimentation, more ideas, more textures that they can apply. Some artists take it to that extreme too, where it's never going to be done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a song is never finished and they can't let go. You seem to be at that great place now where you know you want to push it farther and deeper, but you're excited about, hey, you know what? This is more than I thought it would be. Great.
Yeah, you can work on anything forever, but you really have to learn when to stop. Like, I felt like I dragged Aaron out of the studio one day with his guitar. I was like, stop it. We are done with this song. We are done. Because you can drive yourself crazy thinking what I could have done.
Sure.
What would sound better. But the fact is, when it's a song and you feel good about it, you have to learn to put it down. Like, otherwise it's going to drive you crazy forever.
There seem to be a couple of different sides of Sharon Van Etten. There seem to be an assertive, confident side, and there seem to be a painfully shy, reticent side. Is that a fair assessment to make?
Yes, definitely.
To the point where one of the songs on this record that you made with Zach, who you got to know, Zach Condon, was basically, as I understand it, a musical salve, if you will, where you guys put together a song that basically said, no matter what fears or anything enter in our head, we're cool, we're all right, we're going to make it through. Is that, I guess, a rather simplistic view of that song, but is that true?
Yeah, well, I had written that song after, you know, reliving an experience where a friend had talked me through having a panic attack. And then we had tried recording it with just me playing and singing on it and then, you know, minimal arrangements around it. But there was something missing from the song the whole entire time. But what was staring us in the face was that the lyrics are all about having a conversation with somebody. It's a conversation between two friends, someone understanding what you're going through. And there was no question who I was going to ask to sing that part, because I knew Zach had anxiety problems too, and that was one of our first times we ever really connected, was when we talked about our anxiety and performing and just sometimes just being in social environments. And when I asked him, he said, you know, he said yes, and there was no question that he wanted to do it, and he connected with the song, I think. And once he put down his vocals on the song, it ended up making more sense, because it was supposed to be a conversation, and that was what was missing from it before.
Beyond
You're going to be playing at the Avalon. That's going to be a great thing for you. And you're also doing Conan O'Brien.
Yes.
And we discussed how Conan has... I would hold Conan to his promise that he's going to actually get down on his hands and knees and roll a meatball to you with his nose.
I will not be able to stop laughing if he does that.
Yeah.
If he rolls a meatball over to me... I will roll it back. I will
we'll
do
get
something.
We'll get words to come. We'll have our people call Conan's people to make sure that gets taken place. But see, that this has got to be an incredible week for you. You come out of South By where you do a couple of great shows. Now you're in Los Angeles, San Francisco. You're hitting the West Coast dates. I assume Portland. I didn't look at the itinerary at Coast, but I'm sure you're going to Portland, right?
Yeah. And I get to tour with War on Drugs, who are amazing.
Great Philly band.
Yeah.
Great Philly band.
Yeah. The bass player played on my last record.
Label mates.
Yes.
So there's some camaraderie with the tour, right?
Good people. Really fun to hang out with.
It's got to be an exciting time for you. And the record is tremendous. Tramp, the album is tremendous. I can't thank you enough again for coming out. And we're really rooting for you. You mentioned disarming. You're disarmingly honest and truly accommodating. And we really want you to know we're here to support you at KCSN.
Well, I really appreciate you having me here and being accommodating in return. Thank you very much, Scott.
Thanks for coming by.